to help us understand different faith systems and tribes and tribal nuances and tribal conditioning and codes, I've always thought it's best to have someone from different tribes come in to talk about their tribe instead of reading someone from a different tribe write about a different tribe. Did that make any sense?
Perfect sense.
Because when I grew up in the Jesus scene, they had Christian bookstores, and you go to a Christian bookstore and you pick up a book that a Christian wrote about Satanism. Yes. And I always thought that was ludicrous.
Yes.
Ludicrous. So that's why I've had the high priest from the Church of Satan on the show twice.
Yes.
That's why I've had Yvette Shank, president of Scientology Canada, yep, on the show.
You've had some witches.
The high priest of the Wiccan Church of Canada.
Yep.
And anyway, I think you get the point.
Yeah.
So Soul it's important. Survivor was it's all important about that. For us to. Yeah, we had
Buddhists.
Gandhi's grandson.
Yes.
On the show.
And Uma Thurman's papa.
And yes, that's right. Bob Thurman was on the show as well. So anyway. This is the first time ever that we have had a Gestalt Shamanism instructor on the show. I don't even know if I've given you the right term, Jay. So let's talk about the most important thing first. Live in studio, Jay Tropianskaya. 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 Did I say it right?
Well done.
Jay, that's an interesting last name. Where is that from?
Well, originally from the Ukraine. That goes back a long time ago.
Right.
I grew up in the United States where no one could pronounce it, and my teachers called me Tropicana. I moved to
okay,
I moved to Canada thinking lots of diversity.
Yeah.
Everybody will say my name. It's
yeah.
home to me.
Yeah.
But it hasn't really been so.
Are you a Gestalt Shamanism instructor?
Well, these are two paths for me.
Mm-hmm.
So both Shamanism and Gestalt are my path, and I teach each one. I am, you can say, trained and empowered to do healings and ceremony on the shamanic path, and trained to lead people in a different kind of healing in the Gestalt path. They're not mutually exclusive,
right,
but I don't carry one over into the other.
Okay, all right. Well, today we're not going to talk so much about Gestalt. We're going to talk about shamanism. Are you a shaman?
I am a student of shamanism. So,
if you're a student of shamanism, doesn't necessarily mean you're a shaman.
A shaman is somebody who actually can move into alternate realities and take you with them and bring you back.
Whoa.
So that's
that sounds like a great Saturday night for me.
It almost sounds like the conversation we had earlier with after Near Death Guy.
Yes, it was very similar to Near Death Guy. Okay,
but that's not
so
what
a shaman.
I do.
Give me an example of what might my experience be with a shaman.
Well, the thing that I started to tell you earlier, I want to say again: you can consider yourself a shaman. Because the primary thing that a shaman does is deconstruct reality as we know it. So there's a lot of bells and whistles around shamanism, as in every faith, so that you can get yourself primarily out of left brain thinking.
Hmm.
And what you do, I saw your path, I read about it. At a very early age, you experienced death. You encountered death. Hmm. That's a first step in the shamanic path. If you were in a shamanic culture, someone probably would have taken you out to the woods, shown you decomposing animals or trees, and said to you, yeah, it's not that. That's the Satanism thing. Right? And said to you, and showed you that death brings life. So shamanism really includes death as a process of life.
Hmm.
And because of that, it really focuses on two types of reality. One is what is called consensual reality to shamanism. That means the world we've constructed. It's not reality, it's our plaything.
Mm.
It was coming out of our own creativity. We can play in it, but we forget that we created it, according to the shamanic way. And we forget about the larger universe that we're in. And that has been a process of loss that has come to present times. It's never been so bad, with people's entire focus on their things and their technology without realizing they're part of a greater whole. So I think shamanism is a very important entry into the spiritual world that was practically almost wiped out by every organized religion there was.
Okay, that brings me to a question, which is, are those who are part of the shamanism scene, horribly said, but you know what I mean, do they tend to kind of be leery of organized mainstream religious people because of the history of?
Well, they're leery of dogma.
Okay.
Because the whole idea is experience and engage with life and find out what it's all about, not what someone's told you.
I like that.
Yeah, I thought you might. But You know, the Dalai Lama, I don't know if you remember something called Fire on the Mountain. Back in the 90s, the Dalai Lama invited the shamans from all over the world on behalf of organized religion to apologize to them and to say, please do stay alive. Because what they bring, it's not an organized religion. It does, shamanic communities do have organized religion. Many of them are Christian, you know, all over the world. But it's a spiritual path which looks like the illogical world, and it keeps us in connection with the illogical world. There were shamans in every single community once upon a time just to break open pattern so that we didn't.
I love that.
Yeah, that's why I say you're a shaman, because that's what you do. You are going through every spirituality and causing people to have to think, is this what I believe? Hmm. You know, you bring the faith to doubt back to people. Well, shamanism in its pure form is all about, let's see what happens if I engage in that. Plus, on a shamanic path, you are encouraged and taught to open up your perception of reality. Yeah. So that is however far you want to go. Mm. At one end of it, people do believe that they can travel out and see your past lives and come back with information.
Okay, so what label can I put on you? If you're not a shaman, then you're a shamanist?
I mean, yes, you could say. Okay. I'm a student of shamanism.
That's too long. Give me a shorter thing.
I'm a sorcerer's apprentice.
Sorcerer's apprentice?
Nice. Man. Get the Disney music out.
Is your last name
Potter?
I'm
a ceremonialist.
Okay. So would this be would you put this under the pagan label, paganism?
Pagan is one of those things that was created by the church as a word, right? The earliest spiritualities were all shamanic, including what we call pagan, which meant that people were awake, aware, and alert to everything happening in life, the changing of the constellations, the sounds that plants make, the crunch of an animal in the woods. They lived with a high degree of sensual awareness and awakeness.
This sounds like an ayahuasca trip.
Well, ayahuasca is part of the shamanic path. There are many ways of waking people up to higher and more subtle degrees of awareness, and those teacher plants are one of them on some paths.
I would imagine a lot of... Oh, this is going to sound judgy here, but anyway.
Go for it.
I would imagine a lot of middle-aged people would start to investigate this, because you get to a point in life and you start to feel foggy, and then all of a sudden you get to the next point is realizing that you're foggy. So you feel foggy and then you realize you're foggy and you go, okay, well, something's got to change. Something's got to give. And would they not then jump into what you guys are doing?
I have a good story. I went into shamanism because I wanted to go into middle age and have it mean something. So it's just perfect. Your intuition is good. In shamanism, 54 is the entry age to adulthood. In our culture, 54 is a nothing. You know, you've got your fertile days and you've got your striving days or childbearing days, and then nobody wants to hear what you have to say. Mm-hmm. But we go prematurely into being elders. In shamanism, you're not an elder till you're in your 80s and thinking about death.
Exactly.
Exactly. So I went into shamanism partly because I wanted to feel young in my 50s.
Nice. Okay. Tell me what this means, please. You are a road person on the sweet medicine Sundance path.
Uh-huh. The path that I primarily studied on calls itself the sweet medicine Sundance path, which in sweet medicine relates to animals. It's a traditional word for animals. The teacher of that path came from his tradition, was a combination of Mayan studies and Cherokee studies. That was his path. Mm. And so the animal is one of the most important symbols for his style of shamanism, because they are so alive and alert.
Right.
And the Sundance path means that there is a Sundance within that path. That's one of the most sacred ceremonies too.
Okay. So, my head's exploding again. Sundance.
Uh-huh.
Is that, what's the thing where you stick the hooks through your skin and lay there in the sun and hang kind of stuff? You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Now, the thing about shamanism is that in this country, the people that carry shamanism are the First Nations people.
Right.
They have their own traditions. I'm not a First Nations person.
So you wouldn't be doing that kind
of stuff. I would not be doing that. And okay. I think it's important, same way you talk about old people going to shamanism, it's about Europeans going into shamanism. There's such a cultural difference between people who know that everything is alive and people who are acquisitive. My people are acquisitive and have been for thousands and thousands of generations. And somewhere in our lives, those of us who are European, we're very acquisitive for knowledge. Hmm. And I can tell you at the Sweet Medicine Sundance Path, many of the people want knowledge, and I was one of them. So all of a sudden, you've got the books that you've never had in your whole magical childhood, you know, and stories from the old days. But that after a while, you begin to realize that's a big difference between the real practitioners of shamanism. The losing acquisitiveness takes a very long time. That's why I'm glad that shamanism is offered by some people for people like me, in order that we can learn to trust doing nothing and letting nature be part of our lives.
So I heard you say that awkward white people are more interested in knowing about this stuff than being in this stuff.
We don't know how to be in it. We're very acquisitive. We love to have things. Mm. And, you know, I think of a shaman that I met in South America who took me aside and said, I have to ask you a question. Every year, a group comes to me from Belgium, and they came to me last year for a healing, and I gave them a healing. And they've come to me this year for the healing again. Why are they not healed? That's a difference between...
Yeah.
This is good.
This is good. So, again, let me just... I have the spiritual gift of ignorance.
It's the best spiritual gift.
Wow. There you go. See, Tim, I like this lady.
It's called an open cup.
Okay. I like that. What I'm trying to say is, Tim and I just discussed this before you came on the show here.
Other than pronouncing your last name.
Yeah, we're going on and on and on about your last name. Tim, if I was to say to you, you know, what's a shaman or what's shamanism? Here's the stuff that's been left over in my brain. First of all, it's more an indigenous thing than it is, a European thing, number one. Number two, it really has to do with polytheism. Is that accurate or no?
That's not accurate in my...
That's not a good term?
Not in my understanding.
In other words, the spirit is in all of us.
Well, there is the word great spirit. There's a great spirit that imbues all of us, and a person who has a lot of spirit glows.
But so does the tree, so does the breeze.
But it's the same spirit. So the intention is that when I see a tree, I see myself, not a god of the tree.
No, okay.
Yeah. It's different in that way. I'm looking to expand. And, of course, we have all these things in shamanism, no time to talk about, such as the human luminosity. How much can you see of the energy field of a human? Are you only seeing this physical body?
Uh-huh.
But when you start to imagine energy fields, then you're imagining you're interacting with the trees, with the animals. It's a constant download.
I read an article years ago that suggested those who have trouble praying also have trouble imagining. Do you see a correlation?
Well, here's something I think about praying. The difference between Christian praying... I went to divinity school, by the way. I did 20 years of Buddhism and 10 years of Sufism. So I'm like you, a seeker. Each one has given me something.
Mm-hmm.
But this has given me how to pray. Shamanism has taught me how to pray. When you pray in the Christian faith, you tell God everything, right? And there you are, and then you feel better. But in shamanism, you wait for an answer. You wait however long it takes for an answer. And when that answer comes, you dialogue. You say, I don't get the answer.
It sounds more like Judaism than it does.
Well, I think the Jewish God is, that was my original God. It's a little different.
I can hear it.
From my Jewish ancestors, I got the quest for knowledge. And from my Christian practice, I got sacred image. And from the Sufi practice, I got love. Which I never had.
Isn't it interesting? That's where you got love.
Yeah. It's a surrender faith. But in shamanism, I got the world back. So it was a missing piece that I don't feel like I don't belong. And here, as I say, the gift of the First Nations people that we tried to wipe off the earth, despite all the things we have done to them, they never ask the question, where do I belong? That is the question that I'm glad I can answer now.
Okay. We are in the studio with, here we go again, Jay Tropinskaya.
Tropenskaya.
I like Tropenskaya.
Tropenskaya.
Yes, that's good.
J-Trope.
Good. Or Tropicana, if you want.
Yeah,
go.
Tropicana. We'll stay with that one. Yeah. No, I like your gangsta. I like your street name, your gangster name, J-Trope.
Shaman.
So, would you stop with that? Studying, having studied theology for as long as you did, mm-hmm. Christian theology, mm-hmm. what do you think that Jesus people tend to, how do they freak out about shamanism that you just don't really understand?
Well, there's several levels of answer. Okay, one is that Jesus was clearly a shaman. Jesus was a shaman. He broke up the
yes, I can see this.
Yeah, he got that.
Sure.
So what his intention was isn't what the church is. He, like a shaman.
Again, spot on.
Yeah, he opened up that part of the brain that said we are more than human. Then the church came and tried to interpret that, as all churches do.
Yeah.
So in the process of the church expansion, most of the places where the church has done well have absorbed shamanism. There is no organized religion that doesn't have shamanism in it. Easter for the Christians. So many things that came from those Druid shamans, because the Druid priests just wanted to be Christians because it gave them the same position. So they just gave it all up. But in the course of that, what became an enemy to the church was also some of the things that were part of nature religion. And one of them is the concept of Satan, or, you know, the evil, the pagan. Mm-hmm. Because shamans dressed like animals in order to hunt, they would become like the animal. One of the most common images is that horned shaman. Mm-hmm. The other thing about the horns is that to shamans, we all have a halo. Jesus has a halo, but to the shaman, they showed that his horns. And that became, in the latter days of Christianity, an image for the devil. So in one level, the church, at some levels, the church are terrified of that. Mm-hmm. But I have done extensive traveling in Central and South America where the Jesus religion and the shaman religion are side by side. In the churches, they have beautiful shrines and saint boxes. But and then on
relics?
The floor.
No, no, they have saints enshrined saints in boxes, enshrined and then you can drop some coins
drop
also
some
there.
Drop some coins. Yeah. Oh, okay. And on the floor, they have mesa cloths with cigars for their own ancestors.
Yeah.
And so the shamans in Central and South America, and I know this is true in the First Nations people, often their shrines have crucifixes on them. When Jesus first came to the shamanic people of this continent and South America and Central America, the people thought it was a picture of a man being born from a tree. They just couldn't figure out why he was so unhappy. So they picked up that image.
This is so interesting.
Wow.
Okay.
I can see that. Yeah.
I got to go to totems for a second, because we did talk just briefly about this before. I have a friend who was talking to me about totems, because I happened to brought up the fact that a certain animal kind of flew in front of me. It was an owl one day. Mm-hmm. And the other day I was walking my dog and this coy wolf came out. Mm-hmm. Coyotes and wolves are now breeding and mm-hmm. making a new breed, a new species. And right out in front of Tucker and I. So as a shaman, you look at those experiences and say, what am I to learn from this? True.
I'm going to take it back one more step.
Okay.
One of the most important things for shamanism is called your intent. So if that happened to me and I didn't have an intent, if I had an intent, let's say I'm driving down the road and I think, I wonder whether I should take that job. And a coy wolf comes in front and I go, whoa, this has two energies. One is the wolf. Now, you may have a different attitude about, to me, a wolf goes for what it wants, no matter what. And a coyote is tricky. So I'm thinking, okay, it's got some dialogue with me. But if I wasn't thinking of anything and it came across, I'd go, okay, what was the last thought in my mind?
Right.
So this is how there's a difference between signs and totems. Like the natural world communicates to us in signs. Even license plates communicate in signs. You may have noticed that.
Yeah. I've got a friend in California who literally, he's kind of old and nuts, but anyway, he writes down every time he sees a 666 on a license plate.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I don't know. Anyway.
But the most important thing in shamanism is, what am I looking for? Then I can look for a sign from nature. Yeah.
So the Christian would go, dude, it's just a coy wolf. Or they may go, well, what is God trying to say to you by this experience?
Yes, and you can apply the same thing. If I make a prayer, and that comes. You know, when people love God, when I was a Sufi, I met a woman, one of the happiest Sufi, why I couldn't sustain it was because I didn't have that degree of happiness with ordinary life. And I bumped into one of my fellow studiers, and she had a big smile on her face. I said, "What happened?" She said, "I got fired." I said, "You got fired and you're looking happy?" She says, "God has something in it for me," right?
Now you sound like a Pentecostal.
So it's still how the sign looks to you. But in shamanism, the important thing is to know we're not separate from the world. Oddly enough, you know, I would say in the old days, people knew what the weather was going to be seconds before it happened because they were in tune with it. So there are ceremonies in shamanism where you can say there's going to be a shooting star there, and it's there. And you have these magical experiences only in those moments when you're not thinking of anything. And everyone's had those experiences.
Okay, I only know, let me think, two or three people who are into shamanism, and there is a common thread in these people, and I don't know you well enough to put you into this, but these people are overthinkers. They're all overthinkers.
Oh.
They're not. You remember we were talking about Europeans who got in, and it was all in their head kind of thing.
Germany is one of the most full shamanic followings you want to see anywhere.
But they're known to be overthinkers. The whole tribe is known to be overthinkers.
The greatest number of members of the Sweet Medicine Sundance Path are in Germany.
Really?
Yeah.
So do you see a correlation between overthinkers, European shamanism, or Europeans who are who are into shamanism, and overthinking? Like, again, there's just the people I know that are into are these intense individuals. Intense.
Yeah. But I think that the healing that they need is from the shamanic path,
right?
Just like the healing the shamans need is a little bit from if those First Nation people had thought a little more, those boats might not have made it inshore. So there's a blending.
So interesting.
You need to blend. That's why, to me, every religion or spirituality I've studied, I can blend into who I am.
Right.
And I don't follow anyone else's path. You don't follow anyone else's path,
right,
but you look for things that can support your own path. And
doesn't that play into our...
like horoscopes.
No.
You read them and try to make them fit. Is
well,
that
no, I wouldn't
now?
Even... No, that kind of... No, that feels kind of like cheapening things here. But I wonder how much what you just said plays into our I've used this phrase way too many times in the show, our North American consumerist mindset, where we feel we can just pick and choose from various tribal stuff. Various tribes would be a better way to say that. Because I don't really want to submit to everything this group is all about. I'm me, and no one else is like me, and I'm just going to pick and choose whatever. You know, this consumerist mentality that we have.
Yes, and people can study shamanism that way, too. The type of shamanism that I study is with the idea that we can make it a better world for the children and for the people around us. Mm. But some people, it's just an adventure. You know, I would say that, yes, it's quite true. There is a way of acquiring without being implicated in it, which I don't believe in. But the other part of it is that how much does a person think about their place in the world in order to know why they are here?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're a person that knows why you're here. Maybe you haven't thought about it, but it looks like from your journey, you are here to awaken people's minds to thinking and to doubting, the healthy aspect of that. Would you agree?
Yes.
So that's your path. Anything you learn only enhances that path.
Mm-hmm.
So like everything, it's quite true. Who thinks so deeply about it? But I will never be a First Nations person. There's more different bloods in me.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, there's very few pure bloods in the world. So there's something that we need to gain from our own path, for sure. Sometimes I think one travels these other paths just to come back to your original path.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, this is sort of a very presumptuous thing. I'm going to throw this out, and you tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Do you ever have any anger issues?
Well, one of the reasons I went into Gestalt therapy was that I had anger issues.
Okay.
And I made friends with anger. So to me, I think I love anger as long as it's grounded anger.
With that passion, right?
That's
the backside of passion, is anger.
Yeah, it is. For some people, a spiritual path is the only path they have. I have a friend who studied Buddhism for 40 years, the same generation, who has never gotten over their anger issues. But they keep getting... homework from their guru,
yeah,
to work on their anger. So for that, I think psychotherapy is good.
Yeah, yeah.
You can start off with a better place.
Yeah, it's funny. I always find it ironic that one of the biggest workaholics in the world, he said he was a Buddhist, Steve Jobs.
Mm. Yeah. And he had LSD in his past too, which woke him up too. He said changed his life.
And apparently he had some anger issues as well.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. There you go. Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's talk about taking on forms or
shape-shifting. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is that
real?
Oh,
it's so much fun.
Is that real?
I could give you a homework assignment, but you said you're a little ADD. So
yes.
It may not be. It may be a little hard. We usually start with rocks. That I went to the park and connect to the rock until I feel the inner rock. And the idea is that you need to be so rock-like that someone will sit on you. And it's not hard to do.
You know, it's funny you bring this up. No, because there was a guy, I wish I could remember his name right now. Tom, he was the tracker that the FBI contacted when they couldn't find somebody.
Yeah.
I read a lot of his books when I was way more nature dude than I am now. And what he did, he had the ability to descent himself and to lay beside the track of a deer where they always traveled,
yes,
reach out, touch the deer, and the deer not know that the deer was touched.
Yeah. Wow. That's correct. But humans used to be able to do that. That in the hunting world,
right,
your life could depend on it. And so there's, you know, people
Tom
have
Brown.
This...
Sorry.
Hmm?
I think his name is Tom Brown. Sorry. Yes.
Oh, yes. So Tom Brown, exactly. The idea of having – some people think that the way that we learned about which plants were medicinal and which animals were good to eat was just by a lot of people eating them and dying.
Mm-hmm.
But from a shamanic point of view, it didn't happen that way at all. It happened by somebody actually doing that kind of thing to see what is this kind of plant, you know, and to actually understand it.
What do you recommend to people – if they are interested in learning more about shamanism, maybe not buying into it, but learning more about it, just mm-hmm. learning more about it, where do they go? What do they do?
Well, on your own, one of the quickest ways is to work with your dreams, really, because the dream time is a very fast time to do magical things, and you can get energy from that. You spoke about people losing their imagination. That's really the problem. If I don't have an imagination that these things are possible, I'll never see them. You know, you actually get a lot more from neuroscience about this than from shamanism.
Yeah.
Because the books on shamanism, I don't know what they are. You have to actually be willing to go out into nature and keep walking.
Yeah.
Until your brain stops and see the beauty of everything.
Well, that'll be happening in a couple of months.
Yeah.
I'm heading out on the Camino Trail on October 1st.
Well, that's a wonderful spiritual path. But somewhere on that trail, you could sit down with your back to a tree, and you could just ask a question and say, give me a sign to tell me, what am I doing here?
I'm so ADD, I could be sitting there a while for the answer. Right?
Yeah, the neuroscience part of this is that we have a part of our brain that does not put things into duality, good or bad.
Right.
It all the time, it perceives what we call magic. It perceives the interconnection of everything. That's what people do ayahuasca for. But it's in our brain. So it's a natural thing to be able to see signs, to do this stuff. Every child does it.
Was it a pain getting here? Was it a big drive?
To be honest,
yes.
It was the easiest drive. I thought it would be a nightmare to get from downtown Toronto to Oakville.
Yeah.
It was great. It
Until
was just
you got
the little Trafalgar Road part that was.
I want you to come back. That's what I'm saying. You're a fantastic communicator. This has been so engaging. I'm always interested in evil because, as Tim would know, when we had Romeo Dallaire on the show, you know, he's behind the movie and the book and the whole thing, Shake Hands with the Devil. And he said one of the reasons that he believes in God is because he's convinced that there is evil because of his experience in Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think there is evil?
Yes, I do. I do think there's evil.
Have you encountered evil?
I think so. I think in some, you know, once you start expanding your interest in looking around the world and having a lot of energy, you can attract people or things you wouldn't, even energies you wouldn't normally attract.
But supernatural evil? Otherworld evil?
I think there is now, if you believe in other worlds, which shamanism certainly does, then let's put that aside for a moment, because yes, I've sensed that. I've gone there, and I love going there. But in our world, we have an intuitive sense, all of us, when there's evil, and we go to our head and we say, "Ah, oh, can't be." Mm-hmm. So you know,
isn't that wise? Isn't that
because, to go to our head?
Well, because as kids, I mean, come on, I grew up in a funeral home. Tell me about how many things I was scared of growing up.
We have a person in our path who was a police officer who came into shamanism because every time they were at a murder scene, they sensed unrest,
right?
And it drove them crazy. They said they have to find out what it is. But yes, I do believe that I have to teach people about evil, because good-natured people are constantly getting themselves into dangerous situations. So I think it's important. And in shamanism, there are evil shamans. So just because you study a spiritual path, shamanism gives more power to an individual. First of all, you have more power because you're more awake, aware, and alert to what's happening. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to do good in the world. And in the universe, in the world where there are shamans as regular practitioners, there are evil shamans as well.
How do people get a hold of you? Do you want people to get a hold of you? Do you want our listeners to get a hold of you?
Sure, if they want to.
I'd like some, you know, if there, maybe they could take a course or buy your wares. I don't know what you have.
No,
but
I'm not selling anything. Okay. But I'd be happy to speak to anybody about what the next step would be for them.
How do they get a hold of you? What website?
Now, you have used the ICS.
We've used everything to try to.
Yeah, either one of those websites is direct.
Is the best way to go.
I used to have my own website, which married the two.
Yeah.
But both responsibilities have grown so
large. Sure, sure.
Yeah.
So gestalt.on.ca? Gestalt.on.ca. That's gestalt.on.ca. Wow, that went so fast. I was so interested.
That's great.
I got to be honest, there were parts of the show earlier I was just wasn't as interested. Very interested in that. What about you, Tim?
No, this is fascinating for me.
I'm glad.
Really?
Definitely the thing I've been learning in my little growth as a person of faith is that the Christian church has cut itself off from the world, from nature, from all that stuff.
Right.
And I don't think that's right.
Because we got so scared when the New Age movement took
over.
Hey, we used to walk by stores to smell incense and go, "Oh, Satan's in there. Yeah. Can't go there."
Or Bob Marley.
Yeah, Bob Marley.
I don't care for most incense.
Well, okay, here we go. J. Tropenskaya.
Tropenskaya.
No. Tropenskaya. Dadgummit.
Well done.
Tropenskaya.
As long as someone says it three times, I don't care.
Yeah. Rumpelstiltskin. 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 Jay, thank you.
Thank you.
What a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah.
Yo, yeah.
Thank you.
We're shaking hands, folks, on radio. That's what we're doing. All right, a short break, and when we come back, Rob Mathis, Emmy-winning, Grammy, Tony, and Drama Desk Award-nominated arranger, composer, music producer, director, singer-songwriter. Stay with us. Tori, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you have anything you'd like to share with our listeners at this particular point in time?
Indeed, I do.
Indeed. Let's see if you can say this all the way through without stuttering once. We're all watching. And action.
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign. Well, what if we gave you an entire show?
Wow, that's a great idea.
The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative and affordable advertising concept for the small business owner. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you the opportunity to partner with us for an entire show. Become a one-day advertising partner, and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, and we'll give you a live five-minute phone interview.
Crazy.
Oh, and one more thing.
Yes?
We'll also offer... Sorry. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. So if you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with the Drew Marshall Show. Contact us through our website, drewmarshall.ca, and ask about becoming a one-day advertising partner.
Good, good. Ladies and gentlemen, Tori the intern.
Yeah!
Yes, well done, Tori the intern. Very well done.
You made it easy for me.
I did make it easy for you.
Oh, man.
I made you start over again.